Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The little Kiwi strikes again. This is Wretched Radio. Yes, that was my New Zealand accent, for better or for worse. Todd, mostly for worse. Ray Comfort, after appearing at a California university. I don't know which one it is, actually. But it was big. It was big with TPUSA preaching the gospel. You can expect to hear that Wednesday because Ray preached in the open air. Emile Zwane, Mark Spence. Oscar preached, Scotty preached. They had the whole roster, and there were hundreds of kids standing in the open air to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was awesome. Somehow Fox News picked up on it and invited Ray Comfort to be interviewed to talk about what was going on in the campuses. Now, if I were a betting man, I would put really big money, if I were a betting man and I had really big money, that Ray Comfort would be determined to do what on Fox News? You've got a platform with how many people? Hundreds of thousands, perhaps million or more, watching the Fox News. What do you expect from Ray Comfort? Of course, to preach the gospel. Ray Comfort put together a little, I guess it would be a biography. No, it would be a documentary on his appearance at Fox News. And I just thought we could enjoy it together.
We're going to Fox News for a live interview about what we did today at Fullerton State University.
That's what I said.
Turning Point USA. And I hope I get a chance to share the gospel with the host. I've got a plan.
They had asked for 2 video clips and questions I'd like to be asked. And here's what I gave them.
I'm really enjoying reading this book. You know, people give me books all the time. Somebody gave me this book at a Change My Mind event at Cal State Fullerton. And I looked at it and it said over 350,000 copies in print. I said, wow. I looked it up. It's an author by the name of Ray Comfort. I'd never heard of him. I'm sure some of you are going to ridicule me for that. And it's terrific. And it talks about the proper way to present the gospel. So I'm just going to tease you about that, and we'll really dive into it on Friday. I'm so glad whoever gave it to me, I don't know your name.
I do.
We'll be right back.
I do. It was Mark Spence. I think you can picture this. Mark Spence has a history. He did it. I know he did it with Kirk Cameron. He's done it with others. And I think he did it with Charlie Kirk, whose voice you just heard. A copy of Ray's book, Hell's Best Kept Secret, which truly, if you've never read it, you'll probably read it in one sitting. It is so good. It is not a long book, but it is one of the most important books, I think, in the last 100 years in America. It is a revival of using the law in evangelism. And the book just has helped so many people receive clarity on what the gospel is and what the gospel isn't. So Mark would take the book. He finds the famous person, hands it to him and says, you need to read this. And they take the book, but Mark doesn't let go. And then he says even more earnestly, I'm serious. You need to read this. And because of that, they actually do. Apparently, that's exactly what happened with Charlie Kirk.
Then I told the associate producer how important it was that they showed those 2 clips. I said I'd remove the name of the book from the clip and waive my rights to royalties so I couldn't be accused of benefiting from Charlie Kirk's death. All day long, I'd gone over and over what I'd say. I'd even put bullet points on my phone. But minutes before I was due to go live, I found out that the powers that be hadn't used those clips. That meant all my practicing had been a waste of time.
I've got a plan.
It was now just 1 minute to go, and I didn't have a clue what I was going to say. I thought, I'm about to make a fool of myself in front of millions of people. I quickly typed onto my phone, Father, I look to you to help me, dear Lord. Without you, I can do nothing, am nothing, and know nothing. Please help me. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. the floor manager approached me. I dropped my phone onto the lap of Yale, my faithful cameraman and driver. It was going to be a case of sink or swim. Here's what happened.
You know there was a builder. Even if the builder died 50 years ago, you know, don't just believe, you know there was a builder because buildings cannot build themselves.
Gotta love that they played that clip from Race Hope and Error.
Creation is evidence of a creator. You look around, you see the genius of God's creative hand. Everywhere you look, and the Bible says this, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So you know God exists because you know things have been made.
Recent Turning Point USA events have proven Charlie Kirk's legacy is alive and well. Tonight, we meet a man who is continuing to spread the message of Christianity through civil debate. Let's bring in livingwaters.com founder and CEO, evangelical apologist Ray Comfort. Great to have you on, Ray. What are you trying? We just heard you there. What are you trying to convince or convey to these college kids that you are going before?
Well, I've got to tell you before he tells you. Put yourself in Ray Comfort's shoes. They're probably going to be way too small for you. But imagine you're sitting on national television and you're asked the question, hey, what's up with these kids? What are you trying to convey to these students? This is a lesson in how to turn a conversation to spiritual things. Listen to how Ray does that. Why? He's able to pull it off because that's what he's trying to do. And the same thing will happen for you if you are in an account, you're having a conversation, wherever it happens to be, and you want to turn things toward the spiritual. All you need to do is just get there. Go there. Just turn it in that direction, just like you would if you were talking to somebody and it dawned on you, oh, we ate at this restaurant and the food was so good. You would just blurt it right out, wouldn't you? And we can do that with the gospel if we want to.
What a generation that have been left in darkness, spiritual darkness. Most of them think they're playmates. They don't believe they're created in God's image. And what we want to bring to them is the good news of the gospel. You know, Trace, the whole of humanity is subject to the fear of death.
Did you hear it? There it is. He just turned this. I want to get to the gospel. There's not a particular formula. It's simply a desire to get there.
The Bible says all their lifetime. And so when I go to colleges, I go to college twice a day and I ask students, are you afraid of dying? Mm-hmm. And they say, I'm terrified. And I talk to them about things they normally don't talk about. And I say, do you ever read the Bible? I say, no, never read the Bible. I say, do you know the Old Testament? God promised he would destroy death. And in the New Testament, it tells us how he did it. Did you know that?
That's nice.
I say, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I say, you're interested. And so I share the gospel with them that the Bible says this, Jesus Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And I say, let me show you how you can find everlasting life through simple faith in Jesus. Yeah. And we've got a generation that's interested. COVID did a huge favor to the church because it made a whole generation face the immortality. So that's what I tap into, the will to live that's in every human being.
That is really good. And you can do that. You can do that if you choose to. I know that's like the crucial. How do I get from talking about the football game on Saturday to talking about the gospel? By intending to. That's all. Simply by intending to. So Ray's plan, he had it all thought out. He had it all strategized. Whoop, the rug gets pulled out from underneath him. And what is he left with? Well, just the desire to share the gospel on national TV. And boy, did he.
I want to play some more of this. This is a college student. It's today asking you about sin. Here's the back and forth. Watch.
When the prostitute was brought up and Jesus said, sin no more. Do you think that she never again committed a sin?
I don't think so.
Okay, so then what was
it? Don't know if you watch The Exchange. You'll hear it on Wednesday. We're going to share it on Witness Wednesday. But if somebody came up and he identified them as a Christian, he said, thanks a lot, next. Because he just wanted to talk to the unbelievers and he was not going to get dragged into the weeds. There's lesson number two.
Meaning of that passage.
See, a Christian is someone who perpetually, do you know what that means?
Yeah.
Perpetually turns from sin. If you get up in the morning and say, today I sin, that's called sinning after the flesh. And you need to check yourself and see if you're playing the hypocrite.
Are you finding when you go into these things that the debate is civil? Is it robust? And more importantly, is it effective, do you think?
Very effective, because what I do is I do what Jesus did. I appeal to the conscience,
there
not to the intellect. The intellect is the place of argument, and there's contention. But if you learn to do what Jesus did and go to the conscience, everything changes, because the conscience bears witness. It's like an impartial judge on the courtroom of the mind. So when you say to someone, Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Their conscience bears witness that they're doing something that's offensively, it's immoral to God, and they need God's mercy. And the good news of the gospel is that we brought God's law, we're heading for hell, but Jesus died on the cross to take the punishment for the sin of the world. And if we'll simply repent and trust in him, God will forgive our sins in an instant and grant us everlasting life as a free gift. Most people don't know that.
Well, a lot of people do now. Why? Courtesy of a man who's simply focused. That's all this is. Ray Comfort, if he is anything else, is doggedly determined to trumpet one message. God is holy. You're not. You're in trouble. Jesus rescues you from the deserved wrath of God. Dying on a cross, rising from the grave, put your trust in him and you will have everlasting life. Well done, Ray Comfort. May we all do likewise. This is Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. And then when you're struggling with temptation or you don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, they just say, hey, try harder, pray more. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, thanks for nothing. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at fortisplus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Dr. Tyson's going to give you real answers from the Bible. Not cliches, not go figure it out for yourself, but actual steps that will tell you and teach you how to fight sin with scripture, how to live with purpose instead of just reacting to whatever happens. Here's the best part. He's going to start with the gospel, so you're not trying to earn God's approval. You're going to be living from his approval. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want at Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's free because Fortis Plus is free. Hey, if you're tired of guessing what is plus, just go watch it right now. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org.
Know your church fathers. Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John and the Bishop of Smyrna. He was a staunch defender of orthodoxy, combating the Gnostic heresies. Before his death as a martyr, Polycarp proclaimed, 86 years I have served Christ, and he has done me no evil. How could I curse my king who saved me? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Another student brought up hell, and here's the back and forth on that.
So, does it concern you that you go to hell today if you died?
It does concern me.
Okay, now what did God do for guilty sinners like you and me so we wouldn't have to go to hell?
Yes, he died on the cross for our sins.
Now, even the devil knows that. Most of America knows that. But you've got to appropriate what he did. We broke the law. Jesus paid the fine.
Got to tell you that tone. This is Wretched Radio. Can you preach about hell on a university campus or to somebody that you know or work with? The answer is absolutely yes. Might you offend them even if you have sugar all over your tone? And the answer is absolutely. And it should. It should startle. It should cause terror. It should be the beginning of fear of the Lord that leads them then to turn to the Savior. Ray Comfort, who preached at a TPUSA event, hoping we're going to get to do likewise in November, I'm just saying. But he had hundreds of kids gathered around. You haven't heard that rumor swirling?
I have not.
Well, it's still a rumor at the moment, but we're in negotiations. You know, my rider, not everybody can afford it, is what I'm trying to say. So we're working through those. And my agent, you know, we got lawyers, but hopefully we get that sorted, because we too love going to the campuses. In fact, we're going to be in Oklahoma for two events at the end of October. And it's fascinating what the student leaders of the campus ministries requested to address two big issues, deconstruction and postmodernism. I thought that was fascinating. The worldview of this pernicious thing called postmodernism, it is so pervasive now that it's like the thing on university campuses. And it's so saturated into the psyche of young people. It's all they've known all of their lives. They've just been banged by this message over and over and over again. Think of all of the words that we use today in the 21st century in Western civilization that begin with the word self. Self-love, self-help, self-esteem, self-forgiveness, me, 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 me. It's all about me being the center of the solar system. And that is the message that they've heard over and over and over again. And nobody escapes it. I don't escape it. Nobody escapes it, because it just gets banged in there, which is why you gotta be mindful of what you put into your eyes and into your ears, because it will make its way into your heart. And so we're going to be talking about those two issues at Oklahoma. I want to say that I probably have a note here. So, well, it's, you know, Oklahoma isn't that big. If you just drive around at the end of October, you're going to find us at Oklahoma State and Oklahoma U. And Ray Comfort had the privilege of working with the folks from TPUSA and Fullerton. It was Fullerton, right? I don't know how big that campus is, but wow, it drew a big crowd, which is a reminder and an encouragement. There is something going on. In fact, somewhere in my pile of things, I've got an article that was talking about the Gen Z young men are going to church more than millennial young men. Can't recall the survey, probably Lifeway, that once again encourages us. There's a shift. Something is happening. Where I think that young people, it seems predominantly male, but I think young people in general, although I did read that give or take 60-some percent, like 69% of Gen Z women would consider themselves feminist in the worst sense of the word. But the young men are going to church. I think something is happening. When a bankrupt worldview doesn't deliver on its promises, people, they just hurt. And the kids, they're a hurting, and they're trying to sort it. And they're going to church, and they gathered around by the hundreds with Ray Comfort in California last week. Fox News picked up on it. They must have been watching the video of it. And they had to realize, hey, this is a story. They don't put stuff like this on if they don't think that it's going to attract some eyeballs. Every single story gets vetted in that regard. Are people going to watch this thing? Well, they concluded, apparently they are, because so many young people showed up to listen to Ray Comfort even speak about hell.
Have you gotten pushback, Ray? Is there any skepticism when you go into these?
Oh, of course. Yeah, hell is a very offensive doctrine. But if there's no hell, then God is unjust. If there's hell, Hitler got away with it. So the Bible says there was...
That's just so good. That's just so good. I actually picked this off of... I kind of plagiarized, I guess would be the right word. Wes Huff. He was describing to somebody, he was in a lion's den someplace being interviewed, and he talked about Islam and the deficiency of its lacking of justice. That sure, Allah says he might, not definitely, might forgive, but if Allah simply dismisses your court case, what does that render the judge unjust? That's the problem with Islam. It has no mechanism for justice, so righteousness cannot be upheld. Righteousness is the standard. Justice is the application. Now, I guess you could say that Islam has a standard of righteousness as they define Allah, but Allah has no means of justice, of making sure that the crime that's been committed is actually accounted for.
It's a day in which God is appointed, in which he'll judge the world in righteousness. Mm-hmm. And that's perfect holiness. And that leaves us all in trouble. Liars and thieves, blasphemers, adulterers, fornicators. We all need God's mercy, and God's provided a savior for the whole of humanity. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. And to us, this day, a savior is born. So we're not saying anything new, but all the arguments are just the same old arguments. That's all they are. And we want to get rid of those arguments and say there's a God that loves you enough to provide a savior so you can have everlasting life.
This is a complete side note, but I can't help myself. I'm just going to pull this back. I don't know where this is going to start. Ray didn't take much of a breath. Listen to Ray use his voice like an instrument. His dynamic, his range.
Humanity. That's what we celebrate at Christmas.
Did you hear that? That high note? He's just a captivating communicator.
This day a savior was born. So we're not saying anything new, but all the arguments are just the same old arguments. That's all they are. And we want to get rid of those arguments and say there's a God that loves you enough to provide a savior so you can have everlasting life.
Bring some more video back to us and we'll put you back on. Ray?
Score! That's awesome. That is outstanding work from Ray Comfort. Congratulations to the whole gang at Living Waters. Well done. And please be encouraged by this. You can do what Ray just did. Your voice may not have his elasticity, but you can do what Ray Comfort just did. And I suspect if you said to Ray afterwards, Ray, did you get out everything you wanted to say? He'd likely say, of course not. There's so much that can be said. But he would rest in knowing that he got out what God wanted him to get out. And you don't have to pistol whip yourself when you're done with an evangelistic encounter because you did not bring up the hypostatic union. You can rest in that, which should give you the confidence and the courage to do likewise. And I have to do a shout out. If you are near a university campus, please, all caps G. Okay, it's just one cap G and one cap O. Go. I think that was four O's, but the point is the same. The kids are willing to talk. If you haven't seen that video, you can see it at the Living Waters website. The kids gathered around, and some of them were kind of snarky. Some of them, because he invited mostly unbelievers to step to the microphone. And there was, I remember watching one girl. She was a little bit caustic. And oh, I know. Ray said, it was nice talking to you. And she said, not nice talking to you. Okay, all that did was kind of make her look not very nice. She was the exception for the most part. They were willing to line up to ask questions. We have the green light, church. The fields are white, the harvest waiting. Who will bear the sheaves away? Aloud and long your master calleth. Rich reward he offers thee. who will answer gladly, saying, here am I, send me to the university. I tried to make that rhyme. It was supposed to end on thee. Here am I, send me to the university. Because the kids want to hear it. And if you simply remember the very foundations of the faith, the character and the nature of God, the character and the nature of us, it ain't pretty. And what God must do to sinners, and what God has done for sinners. And then you get to share the great news. This is why I'm so excited to go to the school in October, and hopefully we'll be working with the folks at TPUSA to herald that God is so much better than you think he is. And that we lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaimed, till all the world adores his saving name. And so we're going to go. We're going to keep going. So is Ray. The question that I have for you and for your local church is, will you? This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Well, Elon Musk's recent call to cancel Netflix over transgender content aimed at children, it appears to have hit the streaming giant where it hurts. Their stock price dropped 2.4% after the SpaceX CEO told his ex-followers to cancel Netflix for the health of your kids. When your business model depends on parents trusting you with their children's entertainment, sexualizing kids tends to be bad for the bottom line. Speaking of institutional corruption aimed at children, the Department of Health and Human Services is reversing the Biden-era policy that allowed federal HIV/AIDS funds to be diverted for transgender procedures. Under Biden, states were using the Ryan White HIV/AIDS Drug Assistance Program, money meant to be a lifeline for Americans living with HIV, to pay for transgender surgeries, hormones, and puberty blockers. The FBI has officially severed ties with the Southern Poverty Law Center, the once respectable civil rights group turned partisan smear machine. Cash Patel did mince words when he talked about it. He said their so-called hate map has been used to defame mainstream Americans and even inspire violence. And their hate map was indeed used by a shooter who targeted the Family Research Council, and they labeled Turning Point USA as a hate group just weeks before Charlie Kirk's assassination. They put everyone from Focus on the Family to Moms for Liberty on the same list as neo-Nazis and the KKK. Meanwhile, Cracker Barrel has fired the California marketing agency behind their disastrous rebrand attempt. I thought that was more along the lines of the CEO. I guess somebody had to take the blame, and it looks like Profit, the consulting firm, is the one to do it. It's just corporate word salad to keep the blame off the CEO, but I do wonder if the board will ever deal with her. And speaking of elite institutions making terrible decisions, Harvard managed to distinguish itself twice recently. First, they hired a drag queen, and I am not going to tell you on a Christian radio program what this guy calls himself, but they hired him to teach classes on RuPaul at an Ivy League institution. And this man they've hired holds an actual PhD in performance studies and was the inaugural postdoctoral fellow for gender studies at UT Austin. This is Ivy League education in 2025, ladies and gentlemen. Then a Harvard Law visiting professor was arrested for firing a pellet gun outside of a synagogue as Yom Kippur services began. The man claimed he was, quote, hunting rats, but critics noted he had posted rainy day party time on social media on October 7, 2023, the day Hamas slaughtered over 1,200 Israelis. Harvard, well, they only placed him on administrative leave. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. 2 Corinthians is Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church, written about 1 year later. Since Paul had last written, some false apostles had snuck in and began to question Paul's authority. There are many who claim authority in the church, but those called by Christ will bear the marks of Christ, which are humility and reliance upon Christ.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Merry Christmas to me. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, why didn't you tell me that my thing, the deal where you put the video clips?
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to get all technical on you, but whatever that thing is, why didn't you tell me there was so much good stuff in there?
Well, because it could be a surprise.
I see.
Yeah. And it's a folder.
I'm sorry?
It's a folder on your computer.
You know, that's a big word, Jimmy. And I've been watching some pastors who think that everybody in their pews are dumb. So I don't like to use anything more than a monosyllabic word. Oops, monosyllabic word is more than one mono. So I'd folder. It's two syllables. And that's just too much for people to take. And certainly not if we talk about it for more than 20 minutes. They just can't. That is so offensive. That is just so offensive. This assumption that so many of these popular pastors have, that you got to keep it simple, you got to keep it stupid. I'm sorry. I reject. You know when I learned that years ago? I don't know that I've shared this story. If I have, it hasn't been for years. That it was in Minneapolis. I was invited to speak at a middle school. And I was just such a pompous jerk, even as a believer, still am. But I thought, well, what am I going to say to middle school kids? They can't possibly understand the deep things that I know. And somebody kind of gave me an oral slap. Dude, you're going to be surprised. It isn't about what they can handle. It's whether or not you deliver it in a way that they believe is genuine and authentic. So I went and I spoke. What is seventh, eighth grade? That's like 13, 14, something in that neighborhood. They ain't stupid. Lesson learned. And so what I realized is that it's not about what people can handle. It's about upping your game. Bring it in a way that demonstrates this stuff is relevant. This stuff is glorious, and it doesn't need to be dumbed down. Of course, you need to be aware of where your audience is at, and you need to increase the amount of protein that you put into every sermon. But the point is the same. You don't have to dumb everything down because people ain't dumb. So I found these files in a folder, which Jimmy prepared. Now, this is old, but I haven't heard it. And I do believe that it actually, believe it or not, it might actually be a decent segue from what we just heard from Ray Comfort to Ben Shapiro eulogizing John MacArthur. And I've got a feeling that Ben is going to talk about his experiencing that John MacArthur was earnest about sharing what he believed. Well, he might not use the language we would, you know, sharing the gospel, etc. But I've got a hunch he's going to be talking about John MacArthur. You knew he was earnest, and you knew that he cared about where I would spend eternity. Want to bet?
Well, I want to start today by offering condolences to the family and all of the followers of John MacArthur, the Southern California preacher, and someone who I'd venture to say was a friend of mine. John MacArthur was on the show twice at length, an amazing human being. Of course, he had millions and millions of followers in the Christian community. Christianity Today has a lengthy obituary for John MacArthur, who passed away.
Christianity Today actually put John MacArthur's name in their pages.
Yesterday afternoon, they say expository preacher John MacArthur, who taught scripture to millions through taped sermons, radio broadcasts, Bible commentaries, and a best-selling study Bible, died Monday at the age of 86. MacArthur said the most important mark of his ministry was that he explained the Bible with the Bible, not cluttering up sermons with personal stories, commentary on current events, or appeals to emotion, but teaching timeless truth. The longtime pastor of Grace Community Church said a good sermon should still be good 50 years after it is preached. He said, it isn't time-stamped by any kind of cultural events or personal events. It's not about me. And it transcends it not only time, but it transcends culture. He published the MacArthur Study Bible in 1997. It has 20,000 notes on specific verses, as well as an index of important doctrines, introductions to each book of the Bible, and suggested Bible reading plans. It sold 2 million copies over the course of a couple of decades. He also has a New Testament commentary, which sold more than 1 million copies as well.
That's a lot of books. That's a lot of impact. Okay, come on, get to it, Ben.
MacArthur, of all the people that I know in this sphere, I know quite a few,
Now, I think he's not reading anymore. Clearly, Ben was just rattling off whatever it said in front of him on his computer screen. Now, I think he might be speaking from the heart. Come on, Ben, don't let me down.
Was absolutely staunch in his defense of the Bible. He is somebody who certainly never shied away from the messages of the New Testament and somebody who made himself controversial because of that, which I think is quite a good thing. In the first interview that I did with him, a lengthy interview, he spent fully 30 minutes of the interview talking to me about why I ought to convert to Christianity.
There it is. Do you know why he was able to do that? Because that's what he wanted to do. He entered that arena with Ben because he wanted Ben to hear the gospel, and he knew that there would be a few people that were eavesdropping on the conversation and that they would hear the gospel. Jimmy, I think the segue has been completed.
I think so.
You just have to be intentional. And now, what happens if you don't get the... It just can't happen. All right. Well, if you're actually genuinely trying and there is an opportunity, but somehow the door closes, the bus arrives at the stop, whatever it is, and you don't... You can trust your Lord. And as long as you... Lord, I want to be faithful to you. That didn't happen. Bummer, give me another chance at this. You can live and rest in that. But most of the time, you can get there if you want to.
And as a Jew, I will say that not only do I not find that insulting, I find that absolutely useful. Why? Because he is saying the thing that he believed. And I think that that is a good thing. And the reason I considered him a friend is because he's somebody who cared about my eternal soul. We could have disagreements on what would happen, you know, with regard to heaven or hell, or whether the New Testament was truth or not truth, depending on whether you're a Christian or a Jew. But I was never upset by the fact that he believed that I ought to convert to Christianity, because, of course, many Christians believe that I ought to convert to Christianity.
Yes, we do.
It's not an insult. That's because somebody cares for my spiritual welfare, and we disagree about how best to attain that spiritual welfare.
Glad that he sees it that way, because not many people do, quite honestly. A lot of people just think, oh, you're being mean, you're imposing our values, which, by the way, that is something that you should be prepared to speak about to somebody, especially these days. Gen Zers are going to ask that question. They think that Christianity is both oppressive and repressive. It keeps you from having fun. Are you equipped to explain that? Might I suggest to you that there is a magnificent way to respond to that accusation? Because there's a lot of ways you can speak to the individual who's saying, well, Christianity, it's just, you know, it's a bunch of rules and they just want to rob us of fun. I think there's a positive way to respond to that. And the positive way, in my estimation, is the way that I think increasingly we should be talking about sin. That sin, there's no question, we need to continue talking about the consequences of sin. The wages of sin is death, damnation, eternal conscious torment. We keep talking about that. But then when we talk about the laws of God, which reveal sin, we've got to ask ourselves the question, what are those laws? What are those? Are they intended to oppress or to force you to repress your inner authentic self? And the answer to that question is no. The laws of God are good. The laws of God are right. And this is a little hard to cut through when somebody is so steeped in postmodernism, but if you can at least share with them, God is a good God, and he doesn't merely give laws to wreck your fun. Sure, his laws will wreck your fun, but only if you think that your fun is the better thing. God's ways are actually better. And I think it's so dumb. You can just paint picture after picture of this truth. You go to the party. Oh, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. And then you get drunk. You maybe do drugs, whatever. You do things that you were desiring to do when you went to the party. Don't deceive yourself. If you go to those types of events, it's probably because you're looking to do what your flesh wants to do. And so you do. How's that next morning? How are you feeling? Did your fun deliver for you? Oh, it was fleeting, just like any object, just like anything that we desire, anything that we worship that isn't godly and good. It's going to disappoint because it's not built for those things. And when we sin, it always leaves us feeling very sour, not to mention guilty and shameful. So God doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want you waking up with a hangover. He wants you bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and doing big things for him. That's what he wants for you. He wants better things. That's what the laws of God are. Christianity is not oppressive. Christianity is liberating. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. The only way to actually know what oppression isn't is to be liberated by Jesus Christ. We need to be prepared to respond to that accusation because a lot of students these days are using that to deconstruct. More Christmas presents next on Wretched Radio.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year, and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone, and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because Gospel Partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity. People who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. You know what I love about coffee? It's not just the first sip in the morning, though. It's pretty great. It's that you can count on it. Every morning, it's there, ready to wake you up and get your day started. And that's exactly what we've built with the Fortis Plus app. It's your daily dose of biblical truth, ready when you are, completely free. Think about it. Every day, the culture is throwing lies at you faster than you can dodge them. Your kids are getting discipled by TikTok. Your marriage is under attack. And the world is telling you that up is down and wrong is right. But what if every day you had access to voices that would remind you what's actually true? Dr. John Krotz, Pastor Brad Bickney, Dr. Adam Tyson, Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Libby Gloss, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, all on Fortis Plus, where you're going to find hundreds of hours of content and new stuff being added daily, absolutely free. Look, you're already reaching for your phone first thing in the morning anyway. Why not make it count? Download Fortis Plus right now and start your day with truth instead of trash. It's free, it's biblical, and it's exactly what you need to stand strong in this brave new world. Fortis Plus at FortisPlus.org.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. The fall brought conflict into the world, but through Christ, God has brought peace into the world. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with self. True peace is only known in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, a word from Jimmy. That's it. That's what I'm giving you. This is Wretched Radio. Before we open up another Christmas present, Make it snappy, Hicks, because we've got Keith Foskey in the queue.
Okay. And that's pretty good, too.
Teaching a Bible study and a prophetess.
Yes.
Or something.
Yeah, something like
confronted
that.
Confronted him in the Bible study. All right, you wanted to talk about the preachers who dumb stuff down.
Right. So it reminded me of two things as you were talking. One, the guy that discipled me, he would always say that a good and effective preacher is someone who will make truth reachable for his audience, but he will make them stretch to reach it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Little of both.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's not always easy to do that, but I think each of us have a propensity for one or the other. And these days, the trend almost certainly, although it has been abated to a degree because I think people are just weary from it, I think the same attitude that is causing kids on campus to go, what? Okay, we got to figure this ain't working. That has got to start happening soon in seeker-sensitive churches, that these people sit there, thousands of them, and they listen to some guy just be a silly peddler of life hacks. When are they going to go, this ain't working? There's got to be more to this thing. And it'll either drive people to Bible-teaching churches or it'll just cause them to drift away from Christianity because they don't know that it is actually deeper than the little puddle that the preacher has been peddling to them. So you got to find it because you can go either way and you want to find that balance. All right, that was one thing you said too.
Oh, yeah. It reminded me of Friday's episode of The Briefing. Al Mohler's The Briefing.
Wait a second. You listen to Al Mohler?
I do listen to Al Mohler. Okay. I know. Call me a heretic. But anyway, he was talking about the dumbing in the beginning of the episode. I think he was referring to an article in a magazine, but he was talking about the dumbing down of America. And he said that he doesn't believe pastors are dumbing things down for their people for the most part. He believes they're actually part of the statistic.
Yeah. They're just delivering what they got.
He talked about people not reading anymore. And he said, I can listen to a preacher and be able to tell if he's a reader or not very quickly.
That's right. Yeah. Because he's got some bigger ideas and probably better articulation to boot. Mm. No, and he's able to color things with richer pastels, I think, than if you're just not reading. Speaking of which, that was my segue. Keith Foskey, a little present. I think this happened just recently. He was in his church. He's doing a Bible study when he got confronted by, you'll meet her in just a moment. Let's tune in. Keith's video is becoming increasingly popular on the internet machine. A defender of the faith, I got to sit next to him actually at Daytona Beach just a few weeks ago. He was at the conference, the Cornerstone Conference. I missed his preaching. I was so bummed about that. I think I was trying to disciple Phil Johnson. You know, he sometimes needs, you know, well, he just needs some wisdom sometimes. And I miss Keith's preaching, which bummed me out because by all accounts, he's stellar.
The fact that when Peter walks up to that man, he says, silver and gold have I none, but this I give to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise and walk. He didn't say, hey, and if you believe enough, you can rise and walk. If you had enough faith, you'd rise and walk.
Question. Just a point. Isn't there more than one way to be healed? Because by his stripes we're healed. The laying on of hands.
And that's a legitimate question. Right. And I would say that. In fact, I believe in Isaiah 53, which is the passage you're referring to.
Right.
I do believe that is referring to our regeneration where we are made new in Christ.
I agree with that. I also think it's like, and he would, I think, agree, that ultimately our physical healing for eternity was also provided in the atonement.
And that no matter the physical healing of our body, if we are regenerated or born again,
not yet,
then we have been healed, having been forgiven of all
good
of our
stuff.
Sins. Is that what you're saying?
That's awesome. That is one of the most helpful questions. I got that from Greg Kokel when he was with us just a few weeks ago. Ask qualifying questions. What do you mean by that? What do you mean? What exactly are you saying? And it forces them to articulate something that probably isn't all that clear in their mind.
By his stripes, we are healed. It means that he did a work. And in that work, the stripes, the 29 stripes.
Okay, the Bible doesn't say 29 stripes.
Well, I'm sorry. My uncle worked for Oral Roberts. So he said that there's 29 classifications of diseases.
Oh, boy.
By the stripes of Christ, we are healed.
By the way, if they were counting, which they weren't because they were Romans, Jewish law restricted it to 40, and they would typically do 39 just to make sure they didn't break the law. Romans, they didn't care how many. The more, the better.
Covenant, right. I mean, there are parts of our covenant that are special, right? The healing.
No, nothing you're saying is right.
Oh, well.
You've said 29 stripes has nothing to do with 29 stripes. You've said that each one of those is a covenant. That's not correct.
No, not each one. But that our covenant right is to be healed.
No, not necessarily.
No, not in our...
No, not yet.
Covenant?
No.
He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities.
That's the context. I'm sorry. I'll let Keith speak.
And by his stripes we are healed. I mean,
yes, but you're taking that to mean physical healness.
Yes.
And I just told you that when Isaiah is speaking very clearly in the context of
about
Isaiah 53, he is talking about spiritual regeneration, where the dead man, who is dead in trespasses and sin, according to Ephesians chapter 2, uh-huh, is made alive, uh-huh, also according to Ephesians chapter 2. That is the greatest miracle we can receive and the greatest healing we can receive. I have a very good friend. His name is Justin Peters. Uh-huh. Justin Peters has cerebral palsy and was born with this ailment. He is one of the most faithful men that I know, uh-huh, believes, preaches, and teaches the gospel. And yet he is still dealing with cerebral palsy. He has not been given healing. So either his faith is somehow lacking,
no,
or the promise that, okay, you're saying he should have.
I had my brain healed.
Well, amen. Praise, yeah, the Lord.
So, praise God. I was diagnosed incurable in my, okay, 30s in a hospital.
Andy, would you give me a bottle of water?
Yeah. Ma'am, I think, you know what? If you want to ask questions or say something, let's go outside and we'll talk together.
No.
This is going to get zesty.
I'm listening to this.
Okay, then I'm going to ask you to not disturb it. We got a lot of material to cover.
I didn't think I was disturbing.
And it's online, too.
Okay.
I'll get you water. Bro.
Thank you, though. But as I was saying, I would disagree that we are promised physical healing. I'm going to talk about that throughout.
You mean that Jesus Christ did not promise us healing?
Now you're arguing.
No. Make that statement before the Lord.
Jesus Christ did not promise us physical healing in every sense because we're all going to die. And even you, one day, will die.
And Oral Roberts.
We're all going to die in Scripture. Where's the Scripture? That we're all going to die and God did not promise us healing.
You want to know where the Scripture says we're all going to die?
No. Where did that whole Scripture, we are not promised healing because we're all going to die?
Do you know what logic is, ma'am?
Huh?
Do you know what logic is?
I don't think that Christianity is logical all the time.
Well, there's your problem, because we serve a logical God who is not outside of logic, but actually deals with us logically.
You mean to tell me,
yep,
that the mind of Christ is logical?
I hope it's not illogical, because I don't serve a God of illogic.
No, I'm not saying he's not logical.
No, you are. You just did. He's not logical, therefore he's illogical.
No, I'm saying God is above our...
Oh, yes.
Simple.
He's above what we can think.
The mind of Christ is not on a simple plane like ours.
Yes, I agree.
Well, good.
But that doesn't mean that he's illogical. God tells us that water is going to boil at 212 degrees, and it's also going to freeze at 32 degrees, and that doesn't cease to be. God created a world that we can understand, we can even measure and determine certain things based upon his creative...
So you mean your whole congregation is not entitled to the miraculous healing of Jesus Christ according to the New Testament?
Again, ma'am, as I have said, I believe that God heals, and I believe he heals miraculously. But I do not believe that we command God to heal, neither do I believe that we can expect healing in every single circumstance, because all of us at some point are going to have a disease, an ailment, or a sickness that will cause our death.
Okay,
even
I've
you.
Got permission now to leave after this hypocrisy.
Okay. Well, it's hypocrisy? Are you going to die one day?
No, I've heard enough of your hypocrisy. Thank
are you
me.
Going to die one day?
Judgment!
Yes.
That's a prophet's call.
No, that was a loud woman.
Wow. What did she say? Did you catch that?
Enough of your hypocrisy. Thank
are you
me.
Going to die one day?
Judgment!
Judgment. That was it right there. Judgment.
And then she called herself a prophet.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought that was the end.
That's a prophet's call.
No, oh, yeah. That was a loud woman.
Thanks for the present, Keith. To be certain, I agree with Keith, the context of Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. In what sense? It's for our transgressions, because the context of Isaiah 53 is that this suffering servant is being led like a lamb to the slaughter. We thought it was for his sins, but it was for our sins. Furthermore, I do believe it is correct to identify Isaiah 53 as a now, not yet. Yes, the atonement does ultimately provide for our physical healing when we are glorified, but not yet, not yet. And the reason that I think that this teaching from this woman is so awful is because of the way that Keith just framed it. If you're getting sick, you know what that means? You don't have enough faith. And that is not only not biblical, that is just downright cruel. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.